Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the land of Grand Teton University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of May 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. We'll be able to check in, I hope, today with the folks at the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa. Ben Proust should join us. We'll have Jim Angel here with a look at the Illinois State Water Survey, Prairie Research Institute weather forecast for the agricultural areas of Illinois over the weekend, and we'll take up the price of corn, more likely the marketing of corn in the short form, just 48 seconds. That with Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I. We'll do that all right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Friday. July contract down 2.5 cents for the corn pit at $3.65.5. September futures 3.72.5, two lower. December at 3.82.75, down two in the March, down two at 3.93.5. May futures at $4.75, finished 2.25 lower for next year in the corn pit. Soy complex, July beans 9.53.25, down 3.75. August at 9.46.5, down 3.75. And September futures 9.37, 3.25 lower. November beans at 9.34.5, down 2.5 cents. And the January at 9.41.25, 2.75 lower. March soybeans 9.46.75, down 2.5 cents. Bean meal up $1.10 at 3.03.30. And the bean oil for the day 27 cents lower at 33.07. Soft red winter wheat finished the July contract. It's now the lead option, down 3.25 at $5.11 a bushel. Kansas City hard red at 5.41.75. The lead option harvest month, down a penny and a half there for the afternoon. Live cattle futures from the CME group at 152.52.5, down $1.27.5 in the June. August 150.80, down 27.5 cents. Feeder cattle finished the nearby May at 219.25 cents lower. August at $218.20 per 100 pounds, finished down 75 cents. And the lean hogs in Chicago June contract, $83.32.5, 62.5 cents lower for the day. July down 65 cents at $84 even. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's take a look at the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil for the day is trading at $59.89 a barrel. That's a penny higher in the June contract. July is down 13 cents, by the way, at $60.17. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.08, up 0.3 cents for the day. Gasoline on the wholesale price, that's the RBOB at $2.05, down 0.2 cents. Natural gas for the day, up 0.5 cents at $3.03. And ethanol futures in Chicago on the June contract at $1.68. Settlement price there, 0.4 cents higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 17 points at 18,219. The gold down a dollar at around $1,224. And the U.S. dollar index down 0.33 at 93.175. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area says this afternoon we'll see some isolated thunderstorms, about a 20% chance. Those will come after 3 o'clock. Partly sunny, a high of 83. Southwest winds at 11 to 13. They'll gust all the way to 17. And then tonight, scattered showers, thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 64. Chance of rainfall this evening set at 40% in the area. That continues through the day tomorrow under mostly cloudy skies with a high of 82 degrees. And tomorrow night, it drops back to 30% mostly cloudy, a low of 66. Sunday, showers and thunderstorms, 70% chance. Then we'll go to 82 degrees. It will be breezy on Sunday with south winds at 14 to 21. And Sunday evening, 30% chance of rainfall. Finally, sunshine on Monday and a high of 74. More on the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour when we talk with Jim Angel.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this May 15th, a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting joins us. Mike, thanks so much. I'm hoping that your home there in Atchison, Kansas, is enjoying a bit more heat and some sunshine like we are this afternoon.
Yeah, a little bit, Todd, but I think it's going to be one of those weekends where after some thunderstorms roll through, it's going to be a little bit cooler. And I think this is where, you know, now that we're in the middle of May, while the wheat is probably foremost on the minds of both the fund traders because of the dollar and the weather here in the near term, you know, give it another 30 days. If we stay relatively cool and relatively wet, or very wet and relatively cool, in what the CPC and NOAA suggest is going to be a strong El Nino year, which would be normal, I think the trade's going to have to start contending with a little bit of talk about maybe not as aggressive or good a yield in corn if we start to hear and see more cool, wet weather in the next 30 days. And I say that because there's a lot more conversations being had among producer clients about the stands, about the color of the stands, about the emergence of the stands in corn, and they just need some heat. And I think you bring up something that just kind of triggered some of the thoughts and conversations I've had this week. It's been a lot about the heat and getting some heating degree days underneath us here now that we're getting most of the corn crop planted.
Yeah, a number of people talking about corn not looking all that green at this point. And the next week, when you really do look forward, you see 60s, low 60s in Illinois, really low 60s in Iowa. I didn't check Minnesota yet, but Nebraska, they had a 50-degree, looks like, day on Wednesday. So it might, and it's not just one day, it's 3, 4, or 5 days.
Yeah, right. After the 19th, it's really hard to break 70 from Champaign all the way over to the Omaha, you know, Grand Island area. And I was looking at some of the afternoon temperatures, and probably why the wheat was able to sell off a little bit more, even with a weaker dollar, was some of the lows moderated on the midday maps. But one of the private people I keep track with suggests that the models are going to take kind of a nosedive later in the weekend, or that lows will be lower than what the models project right now. So the areas of South Dakota and Fargo, North Dakota, and even getting down to Sioux Falls, where you get into corn country, not just spring wheat country, lows of 34 are still being registered for this weekend after the cold front goes through. So I think you're probably starting to see a market that is seeing the commodity index buy signals from a couple weeks ago, seeing the heavy rains in the hard red wheat belt, the cool temperatures in the spring wheat belt, and seeing, most importantly, the dollar breaking to stimulate some of the managed money short covering that we've seen, start to maybe move a little bit more in a momentum and a trend shift that would say, why would we need to go back down in December corn and go below that 372 and a quarter low that we hit twice within about a two-week time span? So that's the key number to watch, if you ask me, as we close out the week and get past this past last report.
What did you think of the nice rally yesterday in the wheat market?
Well, it was very needed because you were on kind of an edge, a knife's edge almost, that if you see the wheat break and the stock market flatline and then all of a sudden take out its highs and make new all-time highs and the bond rally start up again, if you're in my line of work, you start to get nervous that you don't see something happen within a 24 or 48-hour time period when you see these macro events happening, especially with Nebraska declaring a state of emergency on bird flu and some fresh talk about a major producer declaring force majeure on eggs just this afternoon. And, you know, you start to think, oh, boy, we've got an opportunity here to break some technicals and get above some moving averages and break out. We better do it, and thankfully we did.
Hey, I'm looking at the wheat chart on the weekly lead option July. 2 weeks in a row, 460 low, double bottom, I suppose, if you really want to think about it that way. And then this week was really nice on the weekly trade.
You know, the nice thing about, and I didn't realize you're going to bring that up, but it works really well with the report statistics because the USDA, probably the biggest thing that I saw in the report, Todd, was the fact that the USDA came in with a much lower U.S. average price for wheat at $5. And so you're talking about, at, on the report day, on the close, a lot of the country for soft red and hard red wheat for June-July delivery well below $5 and heading towards $4.50. So not only did you see, you know, these managed funds at a record net short position, you see the technicals and the way that double bottom does now appear on the chart, but then kind of conclusively to me and fundamentally important is the USDA says $5 is the average price. So we're actually towards the low end of their average of $4.50. So why, if you're holding a record net short position when you're looking at 3 to 5 inches of rain coming into one of your better wheat belt areas that could really hurt your yield potential, why would you want to be as short as you were? And I think oversimplifying it, that's what happened this week, especially in light of the dollar.
I suppose wheat producers will be somewhat more happy about that. On the other hand, if you take that same logic, 350 for corn, which is what USDA has for new crop corn, seems really low.
It does. It's the wheat and the corn U.S. average price look very similar. I mean, in the Western Corn Belt, we got down to 325 the day of the report, and so we were ringing the bell of the low end of the USDA report, and you had to find an ethanol processor to get you up towards 360 where the USDA is. And, you know, I talked to a client in Hays, Kansas. It's about 4.5 hours from me, west of me, in hard red wheat belt, and he brought up the point about the rain, and he said, I thought the rain would help me, but he said, we're 3 weeks ahead of where we should be. We're actually setting grain right now, and we've got a real stalk problem, and we've got rust problems. And he said, I really think the freeze damage was probably worse than I thought it was before I actually walked my fields. And he said, I'm not sure this rain's going to help me because of how far advanced we are in the crop, but that they're actually putting fruit on right now instead of in boot stage. So this rain actually is probably going to be a lot worse for the producer in the hard red wheat country than it's going to help. And I think maybe the trade is starting to come to that realization as well.
Any thoughts on the soy complex?
It's still the tougher one when you want to talk about a rally. I think you can get a rising tide lifts all boats if you see a weaker dollar and the funds take the wheat and the corn up and the weather becomes a problem. I think the beans can follow that, but I really can continue to be concerned about the weaker dollar pulling out South American supplies out of farmers' hands because they don't have to worry about inflation as much. And I also am more concerned about the issue with the South China Sea, that the geopolitical tensions between the United States and China is not going well right now. And I fear that they're going to pull something like an MIR 162 issue out of their hat to, you know, slow down soybean imports from us and turn more towards South America if we see any more tensions arise. So I'm more nervous about the overall picture of the soybeans, and I think the report was a pretty negative number, whether you look at the new crop U.S. stocks or the global stocks. You can't think of very many good things to say in the aftermath of the soybean report.
And you mentioned avian influenza up front. Most would think that would have a bigger impact on the products, bean meal, rather than on corn, in fact. And there is a large number of birds now, but by comparison to the total number of birds produced in the United States, it's not that great. Are you concerned about avian flu and its impact on the grain market or oil seeds at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a lot different market because it's in the egg flock right now. It's going to be a lot different market for the meal buyer and the livestock producer than it was last year. It's going to be more of a buyer's market because I think you're going to have a little bit less stress of strong exports and you're going to have a little bit less stress of strong domestic demand. I think the big issue comes into whether it gets into the broiler flock. That's when it really hits the meat. That's when you really could see a strong rally in the hog market, and I think you could really see a strong break to the downside in the meal and in the corn. So as long as we stay out of the broiler market, I'm going to say hand-to-mouth buying for the meal buyer and kind of steady as she goes when it comes to the corn and bean trade in general.
So until we see it show up in the south and the southeast, we don't need to worry about it too much, at least in the grain and oil seeds.
Yeah, I don't think you're hurting your demand that much, maybe 1% or 2%. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
Have a nice weekend, sir.
You too. That's Mike Zuzlow. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Up next, after this weekend, Bob Easter steps down as the University of Illinois president. His career on campus, of course, here started in the 1970s. That's when Easter earned a doctorate in animal sciences. That was in 1976. He immediately stepped into the faculty position and later became dean of the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences, and then the president of the university. In retirement, Easter says he expects to return to his passion for agriculture. Jeff Bossard talked with Easter about agriculture's role in the future of higher education.
My assumption was that I'd be a faculty member, I'd have undergraduate classes to teach, and I did that. I still lecture in that same course. That I would have graduate students and be out there competing for grants and all the other things that are necessary. The notion that I would become a department head or even a more senior administrator was about as far from my mind as anything could have been.
Talking a bit about agriculture, I mean, what kinds of things do you miss about being over in that school and catch up on?
I'm a generalist in some respects, and I'm not a person that's doing very fundamental research. My research has always been discovering solutions to problems using the discoveries that people who do fundamental science make. And one of the neat things about agriculture, it's in a very integrative science field. You have to bring a multitude of disciplines. A particular problem might require an ag engineer, a biologist, and somebody to finance it and somebody to sell it. To me, that was always fun, to try to build a team that would focus on an issue, and I look forward to doing that. I had that role as a dean of thinking through those kinds of things, and I look forward kind of in a general sense to doing those kinds of things more as we go into the future.
What do you think the U of I's role is then in the future of agriculture in this state?
You know, I think we've not appreciated the extent to which the U of I and some of the other Midwestern universities have not only defined agriculture in the United States, but globally. I find myself, as I travel around the world, seeing things being done and saying, gosh, that was first discovered at the University of Illinois.
What about U of I Extension? What is the future of that? It's an area that we're always concerned about it. Losing funds, whoever's governor proposes a budget.
If you think about the evolution of the land-grant university, it was created in the Morrill Act in 1862, and the notion was that there needed to be places where the children of the common people, the industrial class, however it was defined various ways at that era, would have opportunity for higher education. And then in the early 1900s, there was a realization that just teaching young people in the classroom was a relatively slow way of getting new concepts into the field. So extension was created, the Smith-Lever Act, 1914, to obligate universities like the University of Illinois to actually extend information to the people of the state. And the reality in that era, there was the focus was largely around food and agricultural systems because that's where the large percentage of the state's population lived and that's where they made their livelihood. Today, we're in a different world, and I don't think the general public appreciates the extent to which extension has adapted to the urban needs and providing educational services locally within large urban communities.
Are there students from your time at ACES that you're in touch with that might be president of a company or maybe a farmer just a couple towns over?
I mean, I had a meeting over in Bloomington, and now meeting with more ag groups than I did for a long time. And people around the table were introducing themselves. The tendency was to say, I took your class in 1970, whatever. And I would say, I've thrown away the grade book and I don't remember you. But I was back at the State Farm Center during one of the basketball games. I was walking around and this fellow came up to me and he said, he introduced himself. I had no recollection of him. He had been in a class of about 100 in 1979. And he said, I came in and I asked him a question what he was doing. He said, I came in and talked to you. And he said, I made a whole life decision after that, and it was the right thing to do. And I thought, boy, I'm glad that was turned out well. But you begin to appreciate the impact that you may have had, good or negative, on individuals and when you see them a few years later.
That's outgoing U of I President Bob Easter reflecting on his early years on the Urbana campus. An extended version of this conversation and another on his time leading the three-campus system can be found on our website at willnews.org. Now that USDA has released its first official look at the balance sheet for new crop corn and soybeans, farmers are under the gun to make some marketing decisions. The easy ones are related to what's left to sell from last year. This week, USDA estimated the average cash price farmers will receive for corn in the coming year to be 15 cents less than last year at $3.50 a bushel. It makes the decision to sell what's left from last year's crop pretty easy, thanks to University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
I think it's time to give it up and meter it out and let it go.
Pretty much the same advice goes for old crop soybean sales.
There's no opportunity at this juncture beyond a summer weather problem for prices to recover.
Sell old crop corn and soybeans at your discretion, but probably sooner rather than later. However, Daryl Good is much more cautious as it relates to new crop sales.
Prices are low enough, I think, and certainly below the insurance price. I'd bide my time on new crop corn.
You'd do pretty much the same for soybeans.
Probably in the same category. You're seeing prices right down at the $9 level for harvest delivery. About what the USDA expects for the year ahead. Probably no urgency to get aggressive at these levels.
Again, that's sell old crop and stand the sideline on the new crop. You may read Daryl Good's thoughts on the commodity markets each Monday afternoon on the Farm Doc Daily website. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Turn our attention quickly to the cash grain market. The folks out at the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility join us. Ben Pruce on the line. Thanks, Ben, for taking the time with us. What's weather forecast there for the moment, and how's the corn crop look in the field?
Weather forecast. We got about an inch of rain yesterday and all day drizzle, which is awesome. Look at the 10-day forecast. It's going to be about just low 80s here this weekend, dip down early next week, but the 10-day forecast warms right back up to mid to upper 70s. We're right on schedule. We got corn out of the ground 3 to 6 inches, depending on when it was planted, but it's a healthy green. Emergence is wonderful. It's coming out into just perfect ground conditions. We are up and running here.
Up and running. Is the corn market thinking, hey, I better go down locally
just a little bit. I think obviously the board, looking at the board of what we're seeing today, Informer released some of their acreage numbers, and the market took that into consideration a little bit, but at the end of the day, big picture, taking a step back, at the end of the day, there's just simply too many corn and beans. I mean, any form of rally, unless we get into some form of weather scare, boy, the market just can't sustain these levels. We kind of closed down here finishing the week, and, as we continue to get farther along into the growing season, we just really continue to advocate selling corn and soybeans.
What are your bids for the day?
We're $3.45 cash corn, $9.13 cash beans.
And what's your basis for corn?
We are 20 under here at the elevators, and 20 under on corn and 40 under on beans here at the elevators.
Stay with me. I want to talk to you a little bit more about that. Of course, we're talking with Ben Pruce. He's with the Andersons out of their Everly, Iowa facility. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
We're having a conversation, of course, with Ben Pruce. He's at the Andersons out of Everly, Iowa. Ben, I know coming up during our Commodity Week program, immediately following this program, we talk a great deal about basis levels across the upper part of Indiana, northern Illinois, and into Iowa, and that they have been strong. So 20 under for corn at this time of year should be pretty strong for you, I would think, right?
Historically, yes. We've been seeing a lot of short unders to options, and here basically in the last week, that's really kind of started to fade back a little bit. People just with quality concerns, just people logistically needing to move corn ahead of harvest. We're seeing some corn move to the countryside, and the basis is actually kind of tapering off here just a little bit. But with the market doing what it's doing, we're not sure how long it can sustain markets going lower and basis backing off.
So I think we may have come to the conclusion that by June 15, things might look really ugly, or that might be the turning point.
Right.
What do you think in your area? Is that roughly what you're thinking? You've got 2.5 weeks?
Long story short, basically from Tennessee to western Nebraska, you know, planting, generally speaking, is getting wrapped up. We're done here. I mean, guys are just little spawning in stuff they couldn't get to because of the rain. But long story short, we're up and running. You look at the weather, we're on our way. Plenty of moisture, plenty of heat. We just, at the end of the day, my guys are just getting tired of me trying to call them and just say, hey, we need to sell corn. And I know it's not exactly at favorable levels from a break-even perspective, but at a certain point, when do we accept, hey, we're just trying to limit the loss? I'm not saying it's that bad today, but that's essentially the message we're taking to the farmer.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. Ben Pruce, of course, is with the Andersons out of Everly, Iowa. This agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media. The weather is next.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. The first half of May has been warmer and wetter than average. The statewide average temperature was 63.8 degrees. That's 4.1 degrees above average. Rainfall has been widespread and sizable. A wide band of 3 to 5 inches of rain extends from St. Louis to Chicago, and a similar band extends from the Quad Cities to Chicago. The least amount of rain fell in far western Illinois and in the far southeast, with both areas receiving only 1 to 2 inches of rain. According to the 19-station soil moisture network operated by the Water Survey, soils around the state have plenty of moisture from 2 to 20 inches. Our sites in Warren and Whiteside counties in western Illinois are the only ones showing slightly lower soil moisture values. Highs on Saturday and Sunday will be in the low 80s across the state. Overnight lows on Sunday and Monday are expected to be in the 60s. Possible rainfall amounts over the weekend are in the 1/2 inch to 1 inch range. A cold front is expected to sweep through the state on Monday, bringing cooler air into Illinois with highs in the 60s for northern Illinois while reaching the low 80s in southern Illinois. For the rest of the week, highs will be in the 60s across the state. Also, overnight lows during the week will range from the low 40s in northern Illinois to the low 50s in southern Illinois. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Our thanks, of course, go to Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute for his update of the Illinois forecast. Looking at some other states in the Midwest, Iowa for Des Moines shows they'll have a 40% chance of rainfall beginning on Saturday and then on into Sunday, again at a 30% chance. Highs right up at 80 degrees both those days. Low Saturday evening at 66 with a 75% chance of thunderstorm in Des Moines. Partly cloudy on Sunday evening and 49, and then Monday, partly sunny. Their highs will level off in the low 60s, but it'll be sunshine for a good portion of the week in Iowa. And the lows there with clear skies in the mid to low 40s. Omaha, Nebraska shows us some rainfall on Saturday, but clearing out on Sunday. Their highs again in the 60s for most of the week, under mostly clear skies, lows in the 40s. The Delta region will be a little bit wetter than the Corn Belt. They have a 70% chance of rainfall on Saturday, 60% on Sunday, 70% on Monday, before they finally clear out and head into the mid-70s for the rest of the week. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday under partly sunny to mostly sunny skies. Their lows in the low 60s to upper 50s for the week. Don't forget, you can find our agricultural programming online on demand for you to hear anytime you'd like at WILLAG.org. We post it all in its entirety not long after it airs on our radio stations. And in the case of Commodity Week, before it ever airs on a radio station, WILLAG.org, your source for commodity, agricultural news, and weather.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.